Welcome back to Create Your Pathway. My name is Rory. I am your host. I'm here to interview real people in real jobs so you can know what they're really like. And today we're talking about the government and public administration pathway. I'm interviewing Amy Tate and Bill Rennick. They work for two different organizations. Both organizations are public service organizations, so they're basically helping to improve people's lives. As both Amy and Bill explain, this is the pathway for people that have big ideas and they want to change whole societies. Not interested in getting all the credit for yourself. You want to serve. You want to change the world and make it a better place. As you'll hear in this conversation, there's not really like a set playbook or a specific degree you can get for this pathway. There are a ton of different organizations working in a lot of different ways, both in government and outside of government. And ultimately, it has more to do with the kind of issues that you're passionate about. So how would you change your world if you could change one thing? If you feel that strongly enough, maybe that thing can be a guide to the passion that will lead you into a career in something in this sector. All right, so let's hear now from Amy and Bill. Why don't we get started? Maybe Amy, you can kick us off. Tell me maybe your title, right? And then obviously, like, it's really difficult to often know from a title what you actually do because we do a lot of things, right? So lead with your title, but then fill us in. What does that mean you actually do on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, sure. So my title is Government Relations Manager for TVA, which is the Tennessee Valley Authority. We cover seven states. If you'll remember from your eighth grade history and FDR and New Deal, I handle the elected officials in TVA service territory in North Mississippi. So that's 36 counties, starting up around DeSoto and then going all the way down to Carthage, where Entergy picks up. So 36 counties, work with the mayors, the supervisors. I've got the congressional delegation. So any elected official in those 36 counties, I'm kind of the liaison with TVA.
Okay. Now, Bill, what about you?
Okay. So I am the division director over the Division of Workforce Development for Three Rivers Planning and Development District. Three Rivers Planning and Development District covers eight counties, but the Mississippi Partnership Workforce Area that I'm the director over covers 27 counties. I'm sure all 27 of the 36 that Amy are talking about, because we go from DeSoto County all the way down to Noxubee County and all through North Mississippi. And what we do is we are the fiscal and administrative agent over all the federal workforce funds and a lot of the state workforce funds in carrying out the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act that was passed by Congress back in 2014. So we do on-the-job training. We do all kinds of different things through our community college system and through our high school system. But we're all about preparing people for careers.
Okay. So maybe, Bill, let me stick with you for a moment. Tell us a little bit, maybe the abbreviated version, how did you get to where you are now?
Well, if you're talking about me personally, it's been quite an experience. Now, I have been basically in some sort of public service all of my life. I actually was elected to the Board of Aldermen in Ashland, Mississippi, when I was 18 years old. First time I ever got to vote for somebody, I voted for myself. So I served a couple of terms as alderman, then I was elected mayor, then I was elected to the Board of Supervisors, then I was elected state senator, and then I actually served as chief of staff to a lieutenant governor and chief of staff to a governor. So public service has been part of what I do forever, but economic development goes hand in glove with all of those things that I did. So as Amy works with elected officials, she can tell you that elected officials and economic development are hand in glove, because it all has to work together to make things work. So that's how I got to where I am in my personal venture.
Yeah. Amy, what about you?
So like Bill, very interested in public service from a young age. Not so interested in running for office. So I chose the political adjacent route, in it, but not in it. So I majored in political science in college. And then I had a come to Jesus kind of light bulb moment when I graduated and didn't know what to do and didn't have a job, and had a mentor of mine say, there's this young guy in Tupelo who just got elected mayor, go pick his brain. Like, don't ask him for a job. Just go pick his brain. And Bill knows that was Glenn McCullough. He had just been elected. And I was in Columbus, drove to Tupelo. And I'm like, hey, just graduated 2 weeks ago. Can I pick your brain? And he ended up having a position and hired me that day. So, I mean, a little different. That doesn't happen that often. So I've never been in elective office, but I've always been very close to it. And I really enjoy the policy side of that. I enjoy the community side of that. Glenn was appointed to the TVA board by President Clinton and then appointed chairman by President Bush. And I joke, I rode those coattails to one of the best companies in the nation. So, and here I sit 21 years later.
Yeah, it's nice not to have to campaign, I guess, right?
Yeah.
maybe, Bill, let me come back to you. So, you know, it's interesting you got where you are through all of the, you know, all those elected political positions. What would you say are some of the things that you especially appreciate about the work that you do now, maybe in contrast to, you know, different elected positions that you previously held?
Well, just about anything that I have done. Including now and maybe even more now, you're doing to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to get into the kind of business that we're in, that servant's heart is going to be the number one driving factor for what, mm-hmm. for what you want to do. Your reward, you know, you can make a good living, but your reward is mainly going to be in the fact that you have helped somebody else change their life in a positive manner. So, the workforce, in that I'm in right now is we're helping develop programs, daily that can, help industry find people and make those matches, so that a person, has the opportunity to reach their highest attainment mm-hmm. level. Either through education or through career, and we're matching up those people that industry needs to help them be successful. And the reward from all of that is when you make that match and it works, not only for the individual that you're dealing with, but for the industry that you're working with. So it's a very rewarding business,
okay.
Personally.
And I know, you know, workforce development, I've having done some work with Community Development Foundation and with Create Foundation and familiar with a few others, that can mean a lot of different things. So can you maybe give us one or two examples of some of these programs that you've been helping to develop?
Well, you know, all of those people that you mentioned are partners.
Yeah.
We're partners with them. And that is one of the most significant things about what I think we do in North Mississippi that may be different from everybody else. We're usually all at the table together. TVA is an absolute fantastic economic development partner. CDF, all these different people that create that you mentioned. But some of the things that we get to do is we get to work on the very first day when there is a vision of bringing a Toyota to mm-hmm. North Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
We're in on those developmental stages. I was very fortunate to be able to work on not only on the early stages of Toyota, but also Nissan in Mississippi, which those two of the largest economic development projects that ever came to Mississippi. I was a small fish in a big pond, but you get to be a part of all of that. And that's where the reward comes. So being able to develop programs like our Gateway in School program, for instance, where we're developing young people in the high school age, trying to move them through a progressive path into a career from high school to community college to the 4-year college if they need to be, but into the career. We're helping build those career paths. The development of those programs are probably one of the most important things that we do.
Hmm. Yeah. And Amy, I know, again, TVA, it's a massive organization. Like, give me some examples of even examples that students would be familiar with of ways that their life maybe has been impacted by TVA without them knowing it.
Sure. And before I forget, and I know Bill would agree with this kind of public service path isn't very clearly defined. It's not like a STEM career where you go yeah. get X training and then you go be this. It's a little grayer. And I tell students that may be finding an issue that you're very passionate about. Hmm. Say it's environmental stewardship, and then finding an agency or a group or a company that deals with that issue. So mm-hmm. some of our interns at TVA, I mean, they can work in the power production side, the environmental side, economic development. But at the end of the day, if you're not passionate about what you want to do, it's not going to be a great fit.
Yeah.
So that's one good thing you could do out of high school or college. If you do have an issue that you care about, go find that agency, you know, go find that group and get in there and get your hands dirty and see if that's something that you may really want to do. And if you're good at it, that could end up to be a great career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for what both of you do, it sounds like knowing how to cultivate relationships is really important, right? Like in the work of economic development, it's a lot about giving people who are business owners or leaders a hospitable experience when they come in and do things like site selection, things like that. And then Amy, it sounds like the relationships you're able to cultivate with elected officials to advance important policy proposals and things like that, that at the end of the day, those skills, it's all about being trustworthy, following up with people, being a good communicator, you know. Maybe either of you, what are some other like skills or values that if someone thinks they want to go into this field as broad as it is, what are some other things that they should be thinking about like developing in themselves or learning?
Well, I think once again, the first thing that you have to want to do is you want to have to help someone else. So when I talk about the servant's heart, if you don't have that, this is the wrong business. Because you're going, this is, and building those relationships that you just mentioned and that Amy mentioned, it probably is maybe the number one ingredient in this whole operation. You have to build trust. You have to build integrity. You have to have the ability to get people to think with you, not just think about things that you can't dictate. You've got to lead in most everything that you do in this particular business. So my first thought is in anything that I could give any advice to any of the students would be you probably won't win an Oscar for what we do. You may not be in the spotlight all the time. But the ability for you to participate in making a big difference in your community, if that's what you want to do, if you want to be a thinker, if you want to help develop new ideas for tomorrow and not just today, then this is your career.
I agree, and I would retweet all of that. I talk to some students sometimes. It seems like we get real honed in on certain things. Bill has probably seen this throughout his career. And I was working with a little girl back before COVID hit. And she says, I don't want to be an engineer. I'm not good at math. You know, what do I do? We're pushing the skills trades, which we need. And TVA is all on board with that. And I said, look, at the end of the day, you're always going to need relationship people. So if you've got those great soft skills, I mean, if you're real timely on responding, if you give them an answer, whether it's yes or no, but they know they can count on you and you cultivate those relationships, there is always a spot for great people. You don't have to be, you know, some mathematician to go and get a great job in North Mississippi. So I would say, you know, relax, think about those good soft skills you have. And work on those. Don't try to get better at stuff you're not. Like, really double down and get great at what you're good at. And I think you could find something easily.
What are some concrete things that somebody could think about studying or thinking about in high school and then maybe studying in college if they wanted to move in this direction?
Well, I think, you know, whatever interests you. Again, if there's an issue area that you enjoy, educate yourself on that. One thing I tell a lot of young folks is there somebody out there right now that is doing what you want to do? Go meet them. Go sit down with them. go ask him the questions you're asking us, Rory. How did you get into this? I have never met a professional, an elected official that didn't love to sit down with a student that called them and wanted to pick their brain. It makes us feel good. So don't be scared to reach out and go, well, this person's, you know, the chancery clerk, or this person handles public policy for this group. Shoot them an email, give them a call. I think that's a great way. Informal interviews. You know, I did that all during my career, and it's landed me several mentors that I still talk to all the time. So don't be scared to reach out.
And there's probably not a book on what we do.
Yeah.
And it's so rewarding because you get to do so many different things. So relationships, build up your communication skills. You want to have good self-esteem, not to the point that you think you're the only person in the world that can do this, but to the point that I believe that I can help. I believe I can help make this particular project better.
Yeah.
Rory, I think too, and I know Bill would agree, this job is more on the job training. I mean, you don't really go get a position like this and know what you're getting into. So I see a lot of young people that are like, you know, I don't think I'm qualified for that. I don't know how to do that. Doesn't matter. Get the job and learn it.
Yeah.
And that goes back to Bill saying, you know, just be confident that you can get in there. And I see girls do that a lot. They want to have mastery over a skill before they apply for it, because we don't like risk. Apply for it and learn it, because there's folks like Bill out there. We're going to help you along the way.
Right.
Just by hanging with this bunch, you're going to learn the business and who you need to talk to and what circles you need to go in. So I think that's important, too.
Yeah. Well, and if you're a girl listening to this, you need to know the research shows that men are way more likely to apply for jobs they're technically underqualified for.
Correct.
And if women would take that step, they would probably end up getting them more often. So a lot of it does come down to that lack of confidence that you mentioned. So yeah, I definitely go for it. And in the field you're talking about, because so much of it is varied and there's so many different ways you can be involved, it is much less about you get a specific degree and then you're prepared. It's way more about find things that you care about, find people who are doing those things, get to know them, learn from them, and then build those relationships that could potentially turn into things like internships or job opportunities.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Bill and Amy, for giving me some of your time. I know you guys have a lot going on, but this has been really helpful and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rory.
Thank you.